from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The 11th Bali Democracy Forum 2018 is officially closed. Indonesia-Singapore discuss on investment treaty. Indonesia-Suriname sign memorandum of understanding on diplomat training. Now the news in details. Deputy Foreign Minister Aim Fahir officially closed the 11th Bali Democracy Forum BDF 2018 in Nusa Dua Bali on Friday. At the closing ceremony, Aim Fahir conveyed chair statement as a conclusion of the entire implementation of the BDF for 2 days. Aim Fahir said there are 3 points which become the final conclusion of the BDF. The first is that all countries face challenges in implementing democracy that provides prosperity for all. In this regard, Indonesia offers a solution to an inclusive democracy. To achieve that, according to Aim Fahir, all stakeholders must be able to participate, including the private sector, younger generation, and women. Secondly, good stability and governance are the keys to the functioning of democracy. Public consultation allows the government to capture the views and aspirations of its citizens. In addition, adopting innovation for technology will encourage economic growth. In turn, the economic growth is important in stabilizing and maintaining democracy.
Yang juga cukup berperan adalah teknologi informasi.
Information technology always plays an important role, and certainly millennial is also part of that. Aim Fahir added, the third point emphasized that democratic values cannot be measured by monetary values. Democracy is a thing that continues to run so that prosperity is reflected in people's welfare.
Bahwa demokrasi itu terus bergulir.
Democracy also continues to run. It can be ended, and it is certainly expected that all can be involved in the discussion of democracy.
Bisa terlibat di dalam membahas demokrasi.
In addition to these 3 conclusion points, the closing of PDF also presents the result points of the 2nd Bali Democracy Students Conference BDSC and the Bali Civil Society and Media Forum. According to Aim Fahir, the Students Conference shows that youth and education are 2 variables that cannot be separated to create positive change in society and contribute to creating inclusive democracy and prosperity. While the Bali Civil Society and Media Forum has emphasized the importance of mutual learning and sharing the mechanism of experience between civil society and the media to counter the challenges of democracy. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi met with Singaporean Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Tan Wu Meng on Thursday in Nusa Dua Bali. During the meeting, the 2 countries followed up the result of decision of the leader retreat meeting held in Bali some time ago. In connection with this, Minister Retno Marsudi said Indonesia and Singapore discussed efforts to resolve discussions regarding the investment treaty between the 2 countries.
Dengan Singapura, kita bicara mengenai.
With Singapore, we talk about the follow-up of the leader retreat that was held in Bali some time ago. The point is that we resolved the issue of the investment treaty between the 2 countries.
Mengenai masalah investment treaty antara kedua negara.
On the occasion, Indonesia also renegotiated tax avoidance agreements and preventions of tax evasion of income. Furthermore, the meeting also discussed the sustainability of the results of the Asian Summit decision, including the involvement of the Asian Disaster Mitigation Agency, AHA Center, in Rakhine State. Indonesia also expressed appreciation for Singapore's leadership in Asian, which will soon be over and will be replaced by Thailand. The Indonesian government signed a Memorandum of Understanding MOU on diplomat training on Thursday on the sidelines of the 11th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali. The MOU was signed by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi with Suriname Foreign Minister Yildiz Deborah Polak-Beko. To reporters, Minister Retno Marsudi mentioned that Indonesia offered the cooperation considering that Suriname has new institution which especially aimed for diplomat training. Previously, Indonesia had also provided educational assistance related to the curriculum needed by a diplomat training institution.
Dengan Suriname tadi kita menandatangani.
We signed an agreement for diplomat training with Suriname. This is a project that we have actually done before. Suriname did not have an institution yet to educate its diplomats. Therefore, I started to talk with Suriname's former foreign minister. They are interested in learning curriculum development with us. Therefore, they requested to hold cooperation for training diplomats with Diplomatic Training Center owned by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Mereka tertarik untuk belajar pengembangan kurikulum dan sebagainya dan sebagainya, dan kita bantu pengembangan kurikulumnya. Dan oleh karena itu, setelah institusi itu berdiri, maka mereka minta agar dilakukan kerjasama untuk pelatihan para diplomat dengan pusat pelatihan diplomat yang dimiliki oleh Kementerian Luar Negeri Republik Indonesia.
Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi said during her meeting with the Suriname Minister of Foreign Affairs, they discussed three other things outside the Memorandum of Understanding in the field of diplomat training. These three things are Suriname's demand that Indonesia is able to develop investment in the palm oil sector in Suriname. In addition to palm oil, Suriname also hoped that Indonesia will also invest in the fields of infrastructure development. This opportunity is also used by Indonesia to get support from Suriname to bridge trade cooperation between Indonesia and the Caribbean community, where Suriname is one of the organization's members. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi met New Zealand's Minister for Pacific Affairs, Aupito William Sio, on Thursday in Nusa Dua, Bali. During the meeting, the two countries discussed opportunities for cooperation in the field of eradicating terrorism. Minister Retno hoped that the two ministers' meeting on the sidelines of the implementation of the 11th Bali Democracy Forum, or BDF, will produce the signing of cooperation in eradicating terrorism between Indonesia and New Zealand.
New Zealand sekali lagi menekankan mengenai dukungannya terhadap territorial integrity of Indonesia.
New Zealand once again stressed its support for the territorial integrity of Indonesia. We've discussed the cooperation in the context of counter-terrorism, since New Zealand is part of the sub-regional cooperation for countering terrorism. We hope next week the countering arrangement of terrorism cooperation will be signed.
Kita berharap bahwa minggu depan akan dapat ditandatangani arrangement on countering terrorism cooperation.
Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi said that in her meeting with New Zealand Minister of Pacific Affairs, Aupito William Sio, the two countries also discussed cooperation in the Pacific region. Minister Retno Marsudi added, Indonesia and New Zealand will continue to conduct consultation to bond relation with Pacific countries. Related to the matter, during the meeting, Minister Retno also conveyed Indonesia's plan to hold the Pacific Exhibition. This is the first Pacific Exhibitions initiated by Indonesia to introduce the economic potentials of Pacific countries. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia and Italy will celebrate 70 years of diplomatic relations in 2019. In this regard, the two countries agreed to raise the theme of creative economy and micro, small and medium enterprises. Both themes were chosen given that Indonesia and Italy have the potential to be further developed. After meeting, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation of Italy, Manlio Di Stefano, on Thursday in Nusa Dua, Bali, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said the two countries have negotiated to complete a Memorandum of Understanding on the creative economy. In addition, during his meeting with Manlio Di Stefano, Minister Retno said Indonesia and Italy also discussed the issue of diversity. According to her, the two countries have committed to cooperate in the field of interfaith dialogue and have a mechanism in the form of second-tier diplomacy.
Nah, kembali kepada peringatan 70 tahun, karena salah satu fokusnya adalah
In the 17th anniversary, one of the focuses is creative economy. We are negotiating to settle the MOU on creative economy. We also talk about the issue of diversity in society, diversity in religion, and we already have a mechanism for interfaith dialogue with Italy in the form of a second track, and we are committed to work together for the interfaith dialogue.
Interfaith dialogue dengan Italia dalam bentuk second track, dan kita berkomitmen untuk melanjutkan kerjasama interfaith dialogue tersebut.
Meanwhile, related to trade and investment cooperation, Italian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, Manlio Di Stefano, said that trade and investment relations between Indonesia and Italy should continue to increase, considering the two countries do not compete with each other. Indonesia and Italy recorded trade growth of 18% in 2017. Minister Retno Marsudi hopes that Italy can increase its investment to Indonesia. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi expressed Indonesia's readiness to develop cooperation in the economic field with Papua New Guinea. He said this after meeting Papua New Guinean Foreign Minister Rimbing Pato in Nusa Dua Bali on Thursday. Minister Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia and Papua New Guinea bordered each other so that they have the opportunity to continue cooperation, both in the form of border cooperation and inter-community relations.
And we agreed to continue our work to strengthen the bilateral relation, in particular on the economic field, because we have, for example, the border, the land border with PNG, and we agreed to develop the border between Indonesia and PNG, especially on the economic relation, as well as to strengthen the people-to-people contact.
Meanwhile, Papua New Guinean Foreign Minister Rimbing Pato said that he is looking forward to the development of cooperation with Indonesia, given the existence of opportunities for developing cooperation in the future. In addition, Rimbing Pato also expressed the grief of the government and people of Papua New Guinea for the shooting tragedy that occurred in Papua. According to him, Papua New Guinea, together with the Indonesian government, supporting law enforcement efforts for the perpetrators of the shootings. The Indonesian and Australian governments have discussed actions and support for developing Rakhine State in Myanmar through the Asian Coordinating Center for Humanitarian Assistance on Disaster Management, AHAS Center. In a meeting with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi on the sidelines of the 11th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua Bali on Thursday, Australian Foreign Minister Marisa Payne expressed Australia's desire to help the AHAS Center's work in Rakhine State. In addition to developing Rakhine State, which has been affected by humanitarian conflicts, Payne also asserted that attention must be paid to hundreds of thousands of Rohingyas refugees in camps in Cox Bazars, Bangladesh. Earlier in the 33rd Asian Summit in Singapore in November 2018, President Joko Widodo invited Asian countries to resolve the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine State. According to the president, the crisis has caused global concern, so that Indonesia expected actions in resolving the crisis to create a conducive situation in Rakhine State. The AHAS Center will be given a mandate to help resolve the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine State, according to the result of the Asian countries' ministerial talks. Listener, that was the news over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with our commentary today entitled Efforts to Realize Peace in Yemen. The United Nations' efforts to end the civil war in Yemen has progressed. The conflicting parties, namely the Houthi rebels and the Yemeni government, are willing to attend the peace talks in Sweden, scheduled to take place in the near future. The meeting will likely be implemented. This was marked by the good faith in the form of evacuating dozens of wounded Houthi rebels in the Yemeni capital. Evacuation efforts are reportedly carried out by the Saudi-led military coalition. This step, which is a step forward, gives hope of change of attitude between the two conflicting parties. Previously, the UN's efforts to find a peaceful solution through the negotiating table were planned to take place last September. It was cancelled because at that time, the Houthi rebels considered the UN had not fully guaranteed protection for them. The cancellation of the negotiation last September did not dampen the spirit of the United Nations in seeking a peaceful way. The world body continues to persuade the Houthi militant group to the negotiating table in Stockholm. The road to this direction shows hope when the Saudi-backed military coalition evacuates around 50 Houthis from the city of Sana'a. Along with that, the UN envoy for Yemen, Martin Griffiths, was also present in Yemen to persuade the Houthi rebels to go to the negotiating table in Stockholm. The arrival of the UN envoy in Yemen was also intended to pressure Saudi Arabia to reduce the blockade of the main Sana'a airport, which has been controlled by Houthi militants a few years ago. The international community hopes that the UN step to reconcile the two conflicting parties in Yemen has been realized. Efforts to bring together rival countrymen at the negotiating table are expected to be the first step towards peace. However, it will still depend on two countries known to have interfered in the conflict in Yemen, namely Saudi Arabia, which is supporting the government, and Iran, which is behind the strength of the Houthi rebels. The will of the two countries shall determine whether the conflict in Yemen can be stopped or not, so that people in that country can enjoy peace and harmony once again. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is Sarah Rebel Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from a historical event on December 7, 1950. Aceh is decided as special region. Aceh, which was originally named Aceh Darussalam, was subsequently referred to Daerah Istimewa Aceh of the Special Region of Aceh and Nangro Aceh Darussalam in 2001 to 2009 and become the province of Aceh in 2009 until now. Aceh is the westernmost province in Indonesia. Aceh has its own autonomy, different with other provinces in Indonesia for historical reasons. On December 7, 1959, the region was designated as the province of the Special Region of Aceh based on Law No. 24 of 1959. Aceh bordered with the Bengal Bay to the north, the Indian Ocean to the west, the Malacca Strait to the east, and North Sumatra for the southeast and south. The capital city of Aceh is Banda Aceh, with five ports of namely Malahayati, Kruang Raya, Ulalue, Sabang, Lok Sumawe, and Langsa. Aceh is the worst area hit by the earthquake and tsunami on December 26, 2004. Next turn, on December 7, 1995, the Galileo spacecraft arrived at Jupiter. Galileo is an unmanned spacecraft sent by NASA to study Jupiter and its moons. It was named in accordance with astronomer and pioneer of Renaissance, Galileo Galilei. The aircraft was launched on August 18, 1989 by the Atlantis Space Shuttle with the STS-34 mission. Galileo arrived in Jupiter on December 7, 1995, 6 years after its launch, with the help of the gravitational trajectory of Venus and Earth. It was the first aircraft to cross the asteroid, firstly finding the moon asteroid, the first spacecraft orbiting Jupiter, and launching the first probe into Jupiter's atmosphere. On September 21, 2003, the Galileo mission was stopped by sending the vehicle to Jupiter's atmospheres with a speed reaching almost 50 kilometers per second to avoid the possibility of contaminating Jupiter's moons with bacteria from Earth. We end today's segment of Today in History by seeing a historical story in December 7, 2004. Hamid Karzai was sworn in as president of Afghanistan, who was firstly elected directly in the country. Hamid Karzai served as president of Afghanistan since December 7, 2004. After the Taliban government fell, he became very dominant in Afghan politics circles and became a prominent political figure in the country. Hamid Karzai served as the interim leader of the transitional government and president since 2002. He was firstly elected democratically through presidential election on December 7, 2004. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia. Welcome to My Indonesia. Today I'll bring you a topic about Indonesia-Cambodia agreed to strengthen bilateral economic cooperation. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, met with the Cambodian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Prak Sokon, during the fourth joint commission meeting between Indonesia and Cambodia. During the meeting, they agreed to strengthen economic cooperation between the two countries. Minister Retno Marsudi, after the meeting at Gedung Pancasila, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta, recently said that Indonesia and Cambodia agreed to strengthen economic cooperation, especially in the field of trade and investment. Minister Retno Marsudi explained that trade between the two countries is experiencing a positive trend and increased by 10.86% over the past 5 years. The two countries' economic cooperation also increased the investment sector, especially among the private sectors. Minister Retno Marsudi also witnessed an increase in relation between the two private sectors in both countries, including the Ciputra Company, which developed Phnom Penh International City, with an investment of $70 million. In addition, one of pharmaceutical companies from Indonesia has made a business deal worth $60,000 for 1 year with one of the companies in Cambodia. To facilitate the agreement of cooperation, the Minister of Foreign Affairs will increase cooperation in the pharmaceutical product sector so that it can enter the Cambodian market. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi added that the government of the two countries also agreed to accelerate the internal process of implementing double tax avoidance agreements and fiscal avoidance related to income tax. Apart from trade and investment, Indonesia and Cambodia will increase tourism cooperation, among others, by reviewing the Memorandum of Understanding on Tourism Cooperation, which was signed by the government of the two countries in 1999. On the same occasion, Minister Retno Marsudi also conveyed to the Cambodian foreign minister about the democratic system that had been successful in Indonesia, including information about preparation of general election in Indonesia. As fellow member countries of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, Indonesia and Cambodia also agreed to intensify cooperation, strengthening unity and the centrality of a peaceful and prosperous ASEAN. Indonesia highly appreciates Cambodia's support in developing the Indo-Pacific concept that promotes the principles of openness, inclusiveness, transparency, respect for internal law, and Asian centrality. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Welcome back, listener. Here is News in Brief. Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fahir officially closed the 11th Bali Democracy Forum PDF 2018 in Nusa Dua Bali on Friday. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi met with Singaporean Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Tan Wu Meng on Thursday in Nusa Dua Bali. The Indonesian government signed a Memorandum of Understanding on diplomat training on Thursday on the sidelines of the 11th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua Bali. Indonesia hopes cooperation to eradicate terrorism with New Zealand's immediately realized. Ahead of the commemoration of their 70th anniversary of diplomatic relations, Indonesia and Italy discussed the MOU of creative economy. Indonesia-Papua New Guinea agreed to improve economic cooperation. 5.0 magnitude earthquake hits Lebak without tsunami potential. Listener, that was News in Brief of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sounds.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Situs Pekauman or Pekauman site in Bondowoso East Java Station. Recently, Bondowoso Regency East Java declared as a megalithic city. The acknowledgement was part of effort of the Bondowoso Regional Government to draw tourist attention, both local and foreign tourists. Regent of Bondowoso Salwa Arifin explained that Bondowoso Regency has huge potential, especially historical tourism. Salwa hope that through the acknowledgement, tourists can visit Bondowoso, which has an impact on the community around the megalithic site. There are thousands of megalithic sites in Bondowoso Regency. Based on data from Bondowoso Regional Government, there are a total of 1,215 megalithic sites in all sub-districts. Listener, the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition introduces you to an object in Bondowoso, namely Pekauman site. It is located in Pekauman village, Grujugan sub-district, about 10 kilometers south of Bondowoso. Pekauman is the largest site in Bondowoso Regency. Heading to Pekauman site, you can use public transportation from Bondowoso terminal to Jember and get off at the Chopstick factory in Grujugan village. Then you go to the site on foot, because the location of the Pekauman site is close from the street, which is approximately 1 kilometer. At Pekauman site, you can find dolmen, sarcophagus, menhir statues, dakons, and kenong stones. Kenong stone is a tube stone with a bulge at the top. This stone is believed can be functioned as a building foundation for ancient Blambangan kingdom. Moreover, it is also believed to be a marker of regional boundaries and a symbol of fertility for women. There is also a dakon, a stone shaped like a throne in the age of the ancient Bondowoso kingdom. While dolmen is a stone table formed like a large stone with small stones as the buffer. Sometimes dolmen is used as a place for offerings that put near the graves. Listener, during the visit in Pekauman at Pekauman site, do not forget to see menhir statue. It is a large stone carving formed like human. The Menhir statue was established to commemorate the dead person and at the same time symbolizes the deceased person so that it becomes an idol object. While sarcophagus is a stone tomb, unfortunately many sarcophagus on this site are broken. These ancient stones are located in rice fields and also spread in the residential areas. Most likely there are still other stones that have not been identified and found because they are buried in the ground. This ancient rock is believed to be the oldest Neolithic stone on the island of Java. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition with the topic Pekauman Site in Bondowoso, East Java. We will see you with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Hello listeners of Voice of Indonesia, it's nice to meet you again in Miscellany. Today, the first information is that Indomie increases the vaccination rate in Nigeria. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Listeners, Indonesian instant noodles, Indomie, is very popular in the African countries. One of them is Nigeria. The Nigerian government even uses Indomie to increase vaccination rates in the country. Reporting from Nigeria's oldest newspapers, the Nigerian Tribune, UNICEF, is cooperating with the Sokoto government to hold a polio immunization for children with the 1 to 5 years old in 8 areas. As a lure, the immunized children were then given a pack of Indomie. Apparently, this strategy was a big success. Daily Nigerian reports that the number of immunized children has exceeded the target of 58,813 children. As reported by the news agency of Nigeria, the implementation of immunization in the northwest of Nigeria has experienced many obstacles. One of them is because Nigerian parents believe that polio immunization can have a negative impact on children. In fact, polio is a serious problem in the country. Thanks to the approach of traditional and religious leaders, the rejection of the polio vaccine has now decreased considerably. Another Sokoto government immunization officers, Isa Amin, said that traditional and religious leaders had also provided their support in mobilizing families to allow their children to be immunized to improve their health. Assisted by Indomie strength, the number of children in Nigeria who have been immunized has skyrocketed. Listeners, Indomie began to enter Nigeria in 1988. At the time, Indomie had absolutely no competition for similar products. Even so, Indomie was not immediately in demand at the time. even at first. This product was seen as a foreign food for Nigerians because instant noodle products were not so well known. Now, Indonesian Indomie instant noodle products are very popular in Nigeria, where the producer PT Indofood Sukses Makmur TBK controls around 74% of the local market share. According to Director of Indofood, Franciscus Welirang, Indomie also becomes the first pioneer of instant noodles in Nigeria. In 2013, Indomie won a consumer award for the best product in Nigeria. Listeners, that was Miss Lani for today with the topic about Indomie increases the vaccination rate in Nigeria. We will meet again with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs from Riau and Riau Island. To initiate our segment, Music Corner, let's listen to Soleram, which is sung by The Lilot. Stay with us on RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming at www.voinews.id. Listener, that was the first song entitled Soleram, sung by The Lilot. Soleram is a regional song from Rio which is full of advice. The song becomes bedtime song for children of Rio people. There is some advice contained in the song. Firstly, children must protect their honor. Secondly, if they meet new friends, old friends should not be forgotten. In addition, the song also gives and advises us not to forget the past. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Lancang Kuning, sung by Edi Silitonga. Enjoy the song. Listener, you have just listened to the second song entitled Lancang Kuning. The song is popular among Rio people. Lancang Kuning itself is the name of ship which is sailing at the night. Because sailing at night, if storm happens, the ship must have good skipper. Because Lancang Kuning or ship along with its passengers depends on the skipper who controls the ship. Lancang Kuning song gives advice that a leader must be able to conduct mandate and account responsibility given to him. If it is conducted well, certainly it becomes a blessing. If it is abused, it becomes catastrophe for him. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Ochu Maantau. Enjoy the song.
Onde ma oi, sungai namanya Nguo. Di situ badan moncai batu, moncai kosio. Oh cuma antokan ogoi uang. Oh cuma antokan ogoi uang. Dayan tinggalkan anak jobini. Mangaduno sikan ogoi uang. Nagoi uwa hati onan mani o cuti ngeka jala adio mara so jome doakan o cu copet pulang doakan pulo selama di jalan.
Listener, you have just listened to the second song entitled Ochu Maantau by Rizal Ochu. The song, which was created by Halim Ma'arifat, tells about a Rio resident who is wandering. He leaves his wife and kids and hopes his family in good condition during his wandering. listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Pantai Solop by Rusli Zainal. The song tells about a beautiful beach in Riau which has white sand and clear water. The atmosphere of its nature is very fresh and its residents are very friendly. Thank you for listening.
Soledad, soledad, soledad.
Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.